Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on page 10. This is volume 19, 723, 1926. So Jesus says to Louisa, the more the creatures take and do, this is the readings of the divine will, putting them into practice, the more the life of my divine will shall grow in them. So the more that we read and study and put into practice these truths, the better it is for all of us. Therefore, be attentive in manifesting the divine qualities, the infinite riches that the divine will possesses. Why? So that the heaven of my divine will may be more beautiful, more chiming, more majestic, as it indeed is, it is, and that the heavens of the creation, so that enraptured by its beauty, by the goods that it contain, everyone may yearn to come to live in the kingdom of my divine will. So the more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, the sooner the kingdom's coming. So again, what I always recommend is the calendar. Read the calendar every day. Sometimes there's a few pages a few more pages, like 10. But if you read this every day, at the end of the year, you've basically read all 36 volumes, except for volume one, because volume one has no dates in it. So what's very, very important is that we read and study and put this into practice so that, as Jesus says, the more the creature takes and the more the creature does in the divine will, the more the life of my divine will shall grow in them. Okay, so that's what our God is asking of us. He's asking us to get ready to begin to live this abundant life. And he's showing us how and why this is going to take place in the Book of Heaven. Volume 19, 8, 4, 1926. My daughter, let us put everything aside. So this is what happens with us in the divine will. God helps us put everything aside. Everything that is human, we put aside. And what happens is we begin to live the life of heaven. That doesn't mean that we don't eat. That doesn't mean we don't love our families. That doesn't mean we don't care for our families or don't work. That's not essential. What becomes the essential part of our life is reading, studying, and putting this into practice. And he says, let us speak of the kingdom of my supreme will that interests me, God, so much. So what God loves so much is the kingdom of the supreme will. So he's asking us to get ready to live this. So he says, don't you see how I am always in the act of writing its qualities, its celestial laws, its powers, its divine prodigies, its enchanting beauty, its infinite joys, the order and the perfect harmony that reigns in the kingdom of the divine fiat in the depth of your soul. He first of all is speaking to Louisa, but he's saying to us, everything is changing for you. He says, don't you see, as you read, as you study, as you put this into practice, that I am God Almighty, always is the act of writing the divine qualities in us, the divine qualities of its celestial laws, of its powers, of its divine prodigies, of its enchanted beauties, of its infinite joys, of the order and the perfect harmony that reigns in this kingdom of the divine fiat. Where? In the depth of our soul. It's becoming us. We are beginning to enter into the image and likeness of God again. Now, again, nobody possesses this fully. It would be great if that was the time. But Jesus says, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found the souls yet. He hasn't found enough souls who want this more than anything, who haven't put everything aside to be focusing on this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. So he says, first, I, God, make the preparations. I, God, form in you all the properties of the divine will. So the first thing is that God has made the preparations. That's our life. Everything that happened to us from the moment we were conceived until now, God has prepared us for this. I form in you all its properties. So who is doing this is God. Now, what the saints have done is the saints have said, I'm going to build a convent for you. I'm going to build a monastery for you. I'm going to build an orphanage for you. I'm going to build a hospital for you. I'm going to form a religious community for you, Lord. Jesus says to Louisa, the divine will, I'm going to do this for you. So in the divine will, everything is planned. Everything is formed. Everything is ready. All that we have to do is give our fiat, our yes, and then watch what God is going to do. So this is what he says. And then I speak to you. Okay, we read and he speaks to us. And by feeling its properties within yourself, you may be the spokesperson of my divine will, the criers of the divine will, its telegraph and little trumpet, that with a shrill sound may call all the attention of those passing by to listen to you. You see, this is hidden. It doesn't say go to the center of the town and proclaim this. It's those that pass by Louisa, those that have the opportunity to hear Louisa, to hear what Jesus has said to Louisa. What does he say? That as you begin to receive this gift, you are the spokesperson of the divine will. What does that mean? That's not teaching. That's begin to say, be peaceful, be joyful, be happy. Great things are coming. What's coming? The divine will. What is the divine will? Read Louisa. Let Jesus tell you what the divine will is. The criers of it, the telegraph, the little trumpet, the trump. Be that trumpet, you know, so that the kingdom can be established. Why? Calling the attention of all those who, passing by, will listen to them. These are the people in your life. It isn't everybody. See, this is not to form a religious life. This is to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Now, you can be part of a religious life. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus says what's coming back to mankind is what I originally planned for Adam and Eve, so that we walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, that we are in communion with God. So what Jesus does is, as Catholics, he gives us Holy Communion, the second bread, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. And he says, why do I do this? He tells Louisa, I'm preparing you for the perennial communion that you will have in the divine will, that where you will never be separated from God. Right now, when we receive Holy Communion, the Mass ends. Why does the Mass end? Because the Holy Church does not want to interfere with your communion with Jesus. So what happens? We enter into this communion, and why? For that 15 minutes, it's the most powerful time. And in that 15 minutes, what I recommend in that 15 minutes is to read the six steps of living in the divine will, okay? Memorize these six steps. So as you're in communion, you say, I want to give up my human will. I want to enter into your divine will. I want to go through these six steps. Why? So that you can fill me with all that a human could possibly contain. So why is God given the Holy Church, our Holy Communion, the Eucharist, is so that we can enter into God for at least 15 minutes, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him and worshiping him. This is what God is asking for. You know, so what happens after Holy Mass? A lot of times in many churches, you get into fellowship. You be silent. Adore God for them. Love God for them. Praise God for them. It's not you're condemning them. This is your job. Why? So that we can enter into this kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This is what God has got planned. So why? What's going to happen when this kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus tells us this. We will enter again into that perennial communion with God. That's what's coming. So he says, my divine will make them one and reign in the divine will with its full dominion. My divine will is coming, Jesus says. And I'm preparing everybody who wants it, everyone who passes by Louisa, that they make them one and let it reign in the divine will as its full dominion. So volume 19, 8, 22, 19, 26, my daughter, I am. He uses God's name again. I am making the count of all of your acts to see whether they reach the number established by me. Every heartbeat, every breath, we've only got so many. And God's saying, is each one of them an I love you to me, the Lord? Are you, each breath, is it an I love you to me? Each step that you take, is it an I love you to me? Each gaze, is it an I love you to me? Each thought, word, and deed, is it an I love you to me? So he's saying this. I am making a count of all your acts to see whether they reach the number of the I love yous established by God. And since my divine will encloses all the divine qualities, each of your acts done in the divine will assumes the image, listen to this, of a supreme quality. Look at them, how beautiful they are. It's Jesus breathing in our breathing. It's Jesus beating in our heart beating. It's Jesus gazing our gazing, listening our listening, walking in our walking. How beautiful they are. Do you recognize them? Some possess the image of my wisdom. Some possess the image of my goodness. Some possess the image of my love. Some possess the image of my strength. Some possess the image of my beauty. Some possess the image of my mercy. Some possess the image of immutability. Some possess the image of order. In some, all of my supreme qualities. God is waiting for mankind to enter into his likeness. This is what the book of heaven is all about. Each of your acts, each of yours assumes a distinct image, but they resemble one another. They harmonize. They hold hands and form one single act. How beautiful is the work of the soul in my most holy divine will? That's what you're going to begin to experience. The beauty that God has given you to live. Every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed. You're going to use your intellect, memory, and will, the three powers that God has given us. We're going to let God reign, not us. We are going to be in his image and likeness. How? Through this great gift of the divine will. She does nothing but produce divine images. And I, God, delight in surrounding myself with these images of mine, of God, to enjoy in the creature the fruits of my divine qualities. And I, God, give her the virtue of reproducing more of my divine images so as to be able to see the supreme being copied and impressed in these souls. So what God is showing us is he's saying, I want more than what I gave to you, what I gave to the saints. The saints did the will of God. He says, now I want you to live in the will of God. And Jesus says the difference between doing and living is as different as from night and day. That's how it's beyond doing the will of God as the saints. He says, now I want my children to have more than they could ever have expected. This is why I, God, have so much interest that the souls do my divine will and live in my divine will. Why? To repeat my works, to do what God has done. See, that's exactly what Jesus says. That's what's coming. Volume 19, 9:3, 1926. My divine will is more than sun in the sky. As long as the soul exposes herself to its vivifying rays and banishes the darkness and the night of her human will, its light rises and then invests the soul. It penetrates into the soul's most intimate fibers. Why? To dispel the soul from the shadows and atoms of the human will, the fallen human will. We've been redeemed, and now Jesus says, I want to sanctify it. And it's like pounds on the soul as the soul receives it. It communicates all its effects that the divine will contains. Why? Because coming out of the supreme being, my divine will contains all the divine qualities of the divine nature, not the human nature. So what's happened since Adam committed the original sin, we've been doing human acts. And we've got to go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. The saints were doing the will of God, doing acts in the divine will, doing acts in the divine will in a human manner. Jesus is now saying, I want you to enter into doing acts in a divine manner. So, investing the soul, the divine will communicates the divine goodness, the divine love, the divine power, the divine firmness, the divine mercy, and all of the divine qualities of God. Not in a superficial way, but in a real way, in such as to transmute all of its divine qualities into the human nature. So much so that the soul shall feel within herself as her own the nature and true goodness, the nature and true power, the nature of true sweetness, the nature of true mercy, and so with all the rest of the supreme qualities. We begin to experience what God lives, how Jesus lived on earth, how Mary lived on earth. Why? Jesus is the new Adam. We have to have his DNA. Mary is the new Eve. We have to have her DNA. It's not going to be Jesus and Mary over here and we're over here. No, we're going to be one with Jesus and Mary. This is what God has planned. And now he's showing us the way and the how this is going to happen. God is going to do this. God is going to bring this about. So what does he say? My divine will alone has this power to convert its virtues into a human's nature. That's that he breathed the Ruach of God, the breath of God, into Adam. But only for the one, that's Louisa, who abandoned herself prey to its divine light, its divine heat, and the souls linked to Louisa, who abandoned themselves to become the prey to its divine light, its divine heat. Why? That keeps the tenebrous night of her own human will away from the soul. The true, which is the human will, is the true and perfect night of poor mankind. See, God is, again, what is our human will? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And then we pray, Lord, help me. Jesus says, I am going to help. And I'm going to bring about for souls to begin to live in my divine will as I originally planned. He saved the best for last. And he's asking us to live at this time. Volume 19, 9:19, 1926. This is also the reason why I am saying so much and so many things about my most holy divine will, to abound in gifts, not only for you, Louisa, but for any soul who wants to come to live in my kingdom, so that the soul may lack nothing, need nothing, but possess the source of goods within herself. That's how God created Adam. Adam had everything. Adam possessed everything. Adam was in God's image and likeness. And when Adam committed the original sin, he lost everything. The only thing he had was the human misery, the human will, with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And now Jesus says, I have redeemed you 2,000 years ago. Me and my mother came to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve and have redeemed you. Now, Jesus says, I want to sanctify you. Now is the time for sanctification. How do we know this? Because of what Jesus has given to Louisa. Remember, again, I keep on going back to Our Lady of Revelation. She said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. And sanctification is coming. Why did St. John Paul II say, get ready for the third millennium, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind? Why did he say that? He read what Jesus said to St. Faustina. The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So he gave us divine mercy in 2000. And then what did he say? in 2004 at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, he said, "Now we're going to begin a new and divine way of holiness." He could see it. The veil was lifting from his eyes. He could see it coming. And he told us, get ready for it. And that's why everything is falling apart. Why? The kingdom's coming. God's closing one door and opening another. And the people that want that other door to remain open are furious. They're panicking. They're upset. They don't want that door to close, because they know where they're going. The kingdom is coming for us. The kingdom is coming. We should be rejoicing constantly. When we receive Holy Communion, when the priest holds up the host and says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. When the priest says, this is the Lamb of God, we should be exhilarated, wanting to be close to our Christ, wanting to be close to our Messiah, our King, our God. We should be filled with peace, joy, and happiness to be in the presence of our Eucharistic Lord, looking at Jesus and the monstrance, falling in love with him. There's nothing to worry about. Everything's getting ready. God's closing the doors. He's folding up the tents. He's getting everything ready. Why? The kingdom is coming. That's why he keeps on saying. So he says, I would not act as the God that I am, great, powerful, rich, magnanimous, if in having to constitute the kingdom of my most holy divine will, I did not endow those souls who must live in the divine will, live in the kingdom with its prerogatives and the divine qualities that my very divine will possesses. He says, as a God, I have to do this. This is what's coming. Why should we be complaining about anything? We should be getting ready. How do we get ready? Read, study, learn what Jesus is getting us ready for. Because when the illumination of conscience comes, everybody's going to be reading this. Everybody's going to be saying, who is this Luisa Picaretta? Everything's going to change. And that's very, very close. Read now, study now, learn what this is about now. Get ready for what's coming. What's coming is glorious. What's coming is going to knock the socks off of everybody. What's coming is, it's the new heavens and the new earth. It's the new Jerusalem that's coming. Volume 19, 9:13, 19:26. Therefore, everything I, God, have you do, and it's the same with us, your continuous rounds in the supreme volition. Again, learn how to pray the rounds. If you learn how to pray these rounds, these are the rounds of the divine attributes. You're going to get so close to God. You're going to fall so in love with God. You'll want to be praying the rounds continuously. It becomes our life. This is what Adam did. This is how Jesus prayed. This is how Mary prayed. Therefore, everything I have you do, the continuous rounds in the supreme volition, your incessant prayers for my divine will to come to reign, your sacrifice life for so many years, all of us have had that, knowing neither heaven nor earth, directing to the sole purpose of the coming of my kingdom, this is why we're here, are many props that I, God, have placed before my divine justice that it may surrender its rights and balance itself with all of God's divine attributes, it may find it just so that the kingdom of the supreme fiat to be given back to mankind, to the human generations. Everything is ready. Jesus says it's done. All that has to happen is we have to know this. Okay, once you know this, again, the saints were to know, love, and to serve God. Jesus says, the children of divine will is to know, love, and possess God, as Adam did before the fall. That's what's coming. To walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. That's what's coming. Volume 20, 11, 1, 1926. My divine will veiled in the light of the sun. Okay, think about that. The sun being veiled. While loving and singing the praises of our divine qualities, veiled. We haven't heard anything yet. From the heights of the sphere, it says to man, in everything you do, be always light. See, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." When Lucifer, the bearer of light, went into darkness, when he denied God, when that happened, and went after Adam, everything went into darkness. Everything went into darkness, because Adam was to be the light. And what happens? Jesus comes as the light of the world. And then what does he say to his apostles? You are the light of the world. This is what Jesus says. In everything you do, everything that you think, say, and do, be always light, just as I am. So that the light may convert you completely into heat, and you may become as one single flame of love for your Creator, your God. And then Jesus says, look at me, being always light and heat. I, God, possess sweetness, so much so that I, God, communicate it to the plants and from the plants to you. You too, if you are always light and heat, you shall possess the divine sweetness. You shall have no more bile and anger in your hearts. You shall possess the flavor and the different tints of the beauties of the Supreme Being, of God Himself. You shall be son like me, more so since God made me for you and you were made for Him. Therefore, it is right that you be more son than I, more son than the sun in the sky. This he says, since God made the sun for you and you were made for God, it is right that you be more sun in the sky than the sun in the sky. We haven't seen anything yet. Nothing. We have fallen so far from what God originally created us to be. We've fallen so far that Jesus says it's a miracle that we're alive. He has come to redeem us. Why? Now he wants to sanctify us. See, he said, I came to earth not just to redeem, but to bring the third fiat, bring the divine will on earth as it is in heaven again. That's why the only prayer that he taught us was the Our Father, to get us ready for the kingdom of God on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. Why, Jesus says? Because I don't want any difference between heaven and earth. If I go to heaven, there are my children. If I go to earth, there are my children. Do you see why our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to read, to study, to put this into practice? See, my daughter, how many things you have to do united with my divine will in that sphere of the sun. Like, think about the sun. Remember, Louisa, in volume 26, she goes out into the sun for the first time in 40 years. 40 years when she lived at the orphanage, not the orphanage, when she lived at the association, where the association of Louisa Picaretta is. Her window was facing the north. She never saw the sun, ever, for 40 years. And then finally, in volume 26, she goes out into the garden, and Jesus says to Louisa, he says, this garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden, and you, Louisa, are the virgin. You are the third virgin, not the tempter, not the first one, not the mother of God, not the second one, but you are the third Eve. You are the restorer. I'm giving back to mankind what Adam lost, a human lost. I have to give this to a human, and you are the human. So what happens? She goes outside into the sun and she feels the sun kissing her. She feels the winds kissing her. She begins to understand what it really means to be living on earth in paradise. Everything loves the little children of God, especially the little children of the Holy Divine Will. And everything responds to Louisa. And that's what's going to happen to us. Things are going to respond to us that are going to astonish us. So, you, and this he's saying this to Louisa, and he says it to us, you have to begin to sing the praises. You have to begin to sing the love and the glory of God's light, of our love, of our infinite sweetness, of our innumerable favors, of our incomprehensible beauty. That's heaven. praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God is heaven. This is how we're supposed to live. And that's what the rounds are. The rounds are adoring God and loving God with the love of Jesus, with the love of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, not our human love, but with the love of Jesus and Mary, to enter into this abundant life that Jesus and Mary possessed. Again, you have to sing the praises, the love, the glory of our divine light, our divine love, our infinite sweetness, our innumerable flavors, our incomprehensible beauty. That's heaven. When we see God, we're going to fall down on our knees, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him. We're going to see him as he is and become like him, scripture says. What's happening now is our Lord is asking us, pleading with us. He says, would you be willing to begin to live heaven on earth? Would you be willing to have the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? And when we say yes, he goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I, God, am going to do with you. And you have to impetrate. You have to plead for all people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, all the divine qualities that the Son contains. Why? So that in finding the divine qualities in their midst, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, my divine will may come to reign unveiled with its full triumph into the midst of your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, into the midst of the human generations. That's our job. Our job is to pray, to plead with God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How do you do this? By praying the rounds. You pray the rounds, watch what God is going to do. Your whole life changes. Your whole prayer life changes. It's the beginning of the new era. That's why God is asking us to read, so that we can help bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So you too, sing the praises, sing the love, sing the glory of God's divine purity, of God's divine power, of God's divine strength, of God's divine justice, united to my divine will that is awaiting you in this ocean of love as its own daughter, as well as our eternal motion towards the soul, Jesus says, in order to do good to them, to do God to them. And the continuous murmuring of our love through the created things, that while it murmurs love, wants its continuous requital of the murmuring of the continuous I love you from mankind, from creatures. And he says, and therefore pray my divine will to give everyone, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, everyone, past, present, and future, the divine qualities. It exercises in this ocean of love so that it may come to reign in the midst of those souls who now keep it rejected in the whole of creation, who now keep the divine will rejected. Right now, people are doing their human will, are rejecting the divine will. So Jesus says, I want you to be the ones to accept this, to embrace this, to live this. Why? For all of mankind. Do what Moses did. Stand in the breach for everyone, past, present, and future. Live this life of peace, joy, and happiness. Live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that they gave to Louisa. And that's what God is asking of us. Psalm 20. 11:14, 1926. I, Jesus, wanted the enjoyment to take the pleasure of seeing our reflector in the creature. Otherwise, the creation would be without delight, without amusement, without harmony for us, triune God. Our echo would not find the way through which to resound our sanctity and the place in which to impress itself. Our divine beauty, the place in which to shine. Our divine love, the place into which to pour itself. Our divine wisdom and mastery would find no place in which to operate and unfold. See, everything's changing. This is why there's such confusion in the world today. This is why there's fights all around the world. This is why some parishes have adoration, some parishes don't. God is saying to everybody, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. And so with us, he's seen for some reason something in us that he says, I want you to have the gift of gifts. We're nobodies, we're nothings. We're not important at all. He says to Louisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass. He says, but I'm using you to bring this gift to mankind. And so therefore he's using us to bring this gift to everyone, not only our family, our friends, our neighbors who don't want it, not only our parishioners who don't want this. It's to those that, it's to those few that are passing by. Very, very few. And so Jesus is saying, see, he says to us, I want you to be the yeast in the midst of the flour. He says, all mankind is the flour. And Jesus says, I am ready to bring leaven to the whole world, leaven to all of mankind. And he says, are you willing to be the yeast? Are you willing to live this, this life of peace, joy, and happiness? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Your parishioners don't want it. Some of my best friends don't want it. They don't want it. And I can't, for the life of me, understand why would you not want this? But they don't want it. Why? Jesus said to us, I don't need much yeast. I just need a little yeast to get everything to leaven, everything to rise. And he says, would you be willing to live this for them so that I can give it to them? They don't want it. And it's the majority of mankind doesn't want this. So our job is to say yes to God. Our job is to read and to study, put this into practice, to listen to the Lord. That's what I love the most. Every day, Jesus is speaking to us. And he's telling us how to live his life, how to live his mother's life, how to live the life of the new Adam and the new Eve, how to begin to receive. This is what he says. He says, listen to what he says. I, God, wanted the enjoyment to take the pleasure out of seeing the reflector of in mankind. That's the divine will. Otherwise, the creation would be without delight, without amusement, without harmony for us, triune God. Our echo, the word of God, the echo of God, would not find the way through which to resound. Our sanctity, the place to which we impress itself. Our beauty, the place in which to shine. To our love, the place into which to pour itself. Our divine wisdom and mastery would find no place in which to operate and unfold. So all of our divine attributes would remain hampered in their work because they would not find the suitable material with which to form their work as to have their reflectors. The very first, volume 1 through volume 10, is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19 is how to receive how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. As you read this, Jesus says, I'm finding the suitable material to form their work, to have their reflector. On the other hand, in the soul in whom a divine will reigns, my divine will disposes her to become suitable material so that our divine attributes may carry out their delightful crafting. That's what's happening with the little children in the holy divine will. That's what's happening. This little newborn, Louisa Picaretta, has been given this. Nobody knows her. Nobody wants to know her. Except for us. Read, study. Let Jesus, as what Jesus filled Louisa, breathing into Louisa, let Jesus breathe into us every day. Watch what will happen. Volume 20, 11, 20, 19, 26. As I moved into the sun, into the heavens, into the sea, I kept hearing Jesus' voice saying, who is calling my eternal light? Who is calling my infinite sweetness? Who is calling my incomprehensible beauty? Who is calling my unshakable firmness? who is calling my divine immensity in order to form their cortege and give them the field of action to make them arise in the creature as many seas of light, of seas of sweetness, seas of beauty and of firmness and so forth, to give them the contentment of not being kept idle, but using the littleness of the creature in order to enclose all of their divine, to all of God's divine qualities in the soul. Who is this soul then? Ah, it is Louisa, the little daughter of my divine will. Who is the one that has done this? Next to Our Lady, next to Jesus, the new Adam and the new Eve. Who's the first one to do this? Is Louisa. And that's why Jesus wrote this. He wrote this to tell you what Louisa possesses. This is why the church is going to recognize her as Louisa La Santa, the saint of the church. And afterwards, I heard Jesus say to me in each created thing, who is calling me? See, this is the rounds. As you pray the rounds of creation, you're calling, you're the voice of everything. Jesus said, I could have given voices to everything on earth. But he said to Adam, I wanted you to be the voice of all creatures. Adam was silent when he sinned. Jesus came. All the voices were praising God. Mary came. All the voices were praising God and then assumed and ascended into heaven. Silent. 2,000 years later, Louisa is given this gift. She's singing the praises. She's praying her rounds. Everything is singing and praising God. Now, with the book of heaven, we are also doing that. The sound that the devil thought he stopped when he tricked Adam and Eve is now singing again. And it's the song of Jesus and Mary, not just Adam. Jesus and Mary are singing the song. And it's in our voices. This is what God has given to us. My sweet Jesus came out from within my interior. That's where Jesus is, in the interior of Louisa, and clasped me all to himself. He told me, my daughter, as you make your rounds, this is praying your rounds, as you go around, as you pray your round, so that has to be changed. As you pray your rounds in the divine will, to follow the divine will in each created thing, all of my divine attributes hear your call and enter the field in order to form each one of them in the little sea, this ocean of God's divine qualities. Everything becomes heaven. Everything becomes paradise. Everything becomes the Garden of Eden again. Oh, see how they triumph in seeing themselves active, being able to form each one in its own ocean, its own sea. But their highest pleasure and highest delight increases in being able to form in the little soul, Louisa, and now us, their seas, these oceans of divine light, of divine love, of divine beauty, divine tenderness, of divine power, and so forth. This isn't human prayers. These are not the prayers of the saints. We've learned the prayers of the saints. We love the prayers of the saints. Some of us can't stop praying the prayers of the saints. But Jesus says, I want you to learn how to pray the rounds. I want you to enter into this gift. I want you to be like Jesus, like Mary. So he says, my wisdom acts as a talented artisan with its marvelous ingenuity in placing its immense and infinite qualities in little souls, in souls that are nothing. That's the miracle. We're nobodies. We're nothings. He says, my wisdom acts as a talented artisan with marvelous ingenuity and placing its immense divine qualities, infinite qualities in the little soul. Oh, how the soul who lives in my divine will harmonizes with my divine attributes. Each one of them takes on the office in order to establish its divine quality. Oh, if you only knew the great good that comes from you by following my divine will in all of its acts and in crafting the divine will carries out in you you too would feel divine joy of a continuous feast. You're going to experience this. I guarantee you, if you start praying your rounds, nothing is the same for you anymore. You're living the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, of peace, joy, and happiness. And it's only the beginning. It's not the fullness. It's only the beginning. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.